diving into a series we started last week called Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. If you weren't here or you were here, let me remind you what we went through. We talked last week that we are called to be on mission. And so we gave you a mission that Jesus gives all of it. All of it? All of us. And it's this: your mission, should you choose to accept it. Anybody remember it? What do you got? Yell it out. Okay, all that. So, love God and love people. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, love God, love people. And you have a choice of whether you're going to dive fully into that. Remember, this is not for salvation. This is to be a part of the work that God is doing all over the world. And remember, we told you that you're the church. This isn't just your parents' faith. This isn't just something that older people are supposed to do, or that because I work in a church, I'm supposed to do. This is you guys and the mission that Jesus is calling you on. As we jump in today, I want you to watch this mission and this adventure and see if you remember this. What an awesome movie. Yeah, what a great movie. What I love about that scene is it captures this childlike imagination. Has anybody been in their house and pretended that they're on some great adventure? Anybody done that? Just me? Yeah. So they're in this house and they're pretending that it's this giant ship that's flying all over the world and this great adventure that they're on. There is probably no greater imagination toy. It's in the Toy Hall of Fame. Anybody think they know what it is? No, it's a box. The box is probably the greatest imagination toy of all time. So they've got this house that Ellie and Carl are dreaming about. He comes in, she invites him into that, and they're on this great adventure together. When I was a kid, we would get, I don't know, a new refrigerator or a Christmas tree or whatever, and you had this box left over, and it was a whole world that I could explore. You guys ever used a box to do all kinds of stuff? So what you can do with it is you can move stuff. No, that's boring. Look at this. Look, I hop in it, and I'm in a car. I'm ready to go. I got a windshield. We're ready to rock. No bugs getting in these teeth. Or we throw it right on. Mission control. Here we go. Ready for takeoff. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off! You're reaching the atmosphere. You're out, ready, disengaged. That's terrible. So, you know, you go all kinds of places with it. There are so many things you can do with this thing. I mean, maybe you're one of those animal band lover people. Anybody in here love animals? Easy thing. You throw this sucker on, and you're a turtle. Boop, boop. Or you're just one of those little snails, just going real slow. The box is the greatest imagination toy because you can pretend that you're anything. You can pretend that you're on any great adventure. You can play all of these things. I've got a brand new baby boy, and I'm so excited to help him use his imagination, to dream, to explore, to go on these great adventures just right in our backyard. And so maybe you didn't use a box. Maybe you had like a play oven, ladies. Maybe you had this little plastic thing that you're like Betty Crocker. You're like, oh, cookies. They're plastic. They're going to taste terrible. Or maybe, gentlemen, you had a bubble lawnmower. Anybody have one of those? You walk right behind your dad? Yeah. Or you play house. You've got this little plastic thing in the back, and you spend all day playing house. And we love this because we love to pretend. But guys, a lot of us love to pretend that we're following Jesus too. A lot of us like to just play church. But we're not called to play church. We're called to be the church. We're not called to just sit there and dream and talk about and pretend and then do nothing. But Jesus invites us into this great adventure, this mission that seems impossible, that you can be a part of. Not just to talk about and to go, man, wouldn't that be cool? Man, I just can't do it. I'm too scared. But to jump in and be a part of, Jesus invites you in to that mission. We learned last week in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go invest in people. And he says that because he's given us authority. All authority has been given to Jesus, and he gives it to us. And so your mission, to repeat again, is to love God, to love people. Another way of saying that is to pursue Jesus and then to proclaim the gospel to everybody you meet. But it starts there. You've got to know God. And then you've got to love his people. We're not just here on Sundays to pretend, to play, to make believe, to talk about things that just make us feel good. We're here to send you out. We're here to equip you, to train you, and then to send you to go and love people. Every week, you are on a short-term mission trip. Not just people who spend thousands of dollars to go to Africa or spend all this time and resource to go somewhere else overseas. You are called every week to be on mission. I'm going to ditch this. And you get to be a part of what God is doing all over the world. And so everybody in this room, if you know Jesus, you should look different than the people around you. Not because you go to Watermark, not because you go to a Christian school, not because you grew up in a good family, but because you know Jesus and Jesus has transformed your life. That's the mission. Love God, love people. Are you going to jump in? Because it'll be amazing to see what God does. Last week, we looked at this group of people that were on an impossible mission to rebuild their city. And we're going to jump back in there to Nehemiah. We're in the Old Testament. It's after a book called Ezra. You've probably never seen that one either. So find your table of contents. Remember, bring your Bible. We want to help you know it and understand it and find these books that you've maybe never heard of. Nehemiah, we're going to go in chapter 3, and let me give you the context of what is going on at this time. The people of Israel are in exile, which means they've been pushed out of their homeland. And the people have just devastated the land. Other neighboring nations and enemies have broken the walls and they've torn it down, and so this city lies in ruins. And guys, it doesn't really make sense to us right now. Like, okay, who cares about walls? It's no big deal. But back then, that was all the defense that they had. Everything they had were these walls. This was what kept them safe in their city. And now they've got nothing. And people are discouraged. People don't know what to do. And God sends Nehemiah. And last week we looked at him and he said, hey, come let us build. Let me tell you the greatness of my God and jump in with me. Come be on mission with me. Come be the church. Let's rebuild the brokenness of our city. And they said, all right, we're in. We'll do whatever it takes. And to remind you guys, so that this is not just some book thousands of years ago, we live in a broken world. Our city around us culturally lies in ruins. And the answer is Jesus. And God's mission to send you on is to send you out to show the love of God to anybody and everybody that you meet. So Nehemiah 3, we're going to dive in there. We're going to start here, verse 1. You can follow along with me. And it'll also be on the screen. It says this, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakaz, repaired. And next to them, Meshelem, the son of Barecha, son of Meshezabel, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired. And it goes on and on and on for a whole chapter.
all these random names, and it just repeats, and you're going, okay, I thought I was supposed to come here to learn something. Why are we reading a bunch of names? You guys ever been trying to read scripture, and you get to this section, and you go, why is this here? Anybody else been there? You're like, what, why do I have to read a list of names for this whole chapter? This does not make sense to me. But it's God's word. And so every time we encounter something like that, we want to go, all right, why is this here? Let's look at the context. Let's look at what's going on. Why would God say this is important for his revelation to us? And guys, I'm going to tell you, I think it's amazingly important and applicable to your life today. So the first thing I want you to see is right here, it's calling us to be the church. To jump in. You be the church. Because here's where it starts. Verse 1, it talks about the high priest. The high priest is the religious man of the day that everybody looks to. He is the man that's leading them in their relationship with the Lord. And he's the guy that jumps in first and says, all right, I'll do it. And then his brothers, the priests, the other guys around him, they step up and they build this huge section of the wall. But then it stops there and no other work gets done and the city's continued in ruins. Is that what it says? No, it says, and then this guy, and then these people, and then those people. If it's just the high priest, if it's just these religious adults that are doing it, the work will not get done. And the mission will not continue. Guys, me and Sean and Rebe and Dale and your leaders, it's not just up to us. If you're looking to us to go and do the mission and to share the gospel and to rebuild this city and to do all this, we're here to help. We're jumping in just like you are. But if you're waiting for us to do it so you can sit back, you're missing it. But guys, what happened is the high priest and then his brothers, they said, we're doing it. And the people followed. So guys, I want to encourage you, follow your leader. Don't just sit back and watch. Follow them. Model after them. Watch the way that they read their Bible. Listen to the way that they pray, the way that they love you, the way that they love their spouse. And learn from it. And go and practice it. Go and do it. Ask them to come to go with them. Hey, can I go with you when you go share the gospel? Is that going to be scary? Yeah. Your leader's scared out of your mind. If you asked me that, I'd be so scared. But that's the mission. And that's what we get to be a part of. So jump in. Don't just expect that the adults are going to do it. Because you guys are going to have access to parts of this city that none of us that are leaders in this room ever will. Most of the time, I can't get into your school because I work on a church staff. A lot of schools would just say, hey, you can only come here one day a week for an hour, and you have to talk to a specific kid that's in your ministry. Tell them your name. Tell us their name. Okay, great. That's the law. Those are the rules. But you guys have access to your school, your classrooms, your teachers, the people that you stand next to every single day. Are you taking advantage of it? Are you on mission to love God, to love people? Or are you just waiting for your leader or your parents or Todd or Harrison to do it? Be on mission with us and jump in. It is awesome. Next thing, be faithful. So you see, even in these first five verses, they saw where they were and they jumped in there. They jumped in where they already were at. If you study this text, you don't see it right there in the text, but if you read commentaries, you see that the sheep gate where the priests started, that's the entrance to the temple that they bring in the sacrifices. That's where they hung out most of the time. And they said, all right, we're going to start here. We're already here. This is where God has us. This is our mission. Let's get to work. And then the guys next to them, they jumped in wherever they were. And then it says later on in the text, in verse 10, there's a section that says opposite their house. And it says that a couple times, again in verse 23. It says that these guys, wherever they lived, they saw brokenness and they jumped in. They jumped into that brokenness. They saw where God already had them. and they went to work. And God used them because they were personally involved, highly motivated, and already present. You don't have to look for the coolest mission. Some of you guys, I know that connects with you because it would have connected with me when I was your age. Some of you guys are just looking for the one that sounds really cool. Or maybe the kid that's really lonely. Or maybe the kid that's really far from Jesus and you go, you know what, I'm going to hold off till I find that one. Okay, maybe God's got that for you, but what's in front of you today? And then ask God, hey, Lord, what's in front of me tomorrow? How do I be on mission to be used by you? So guys, where are you? Where does God already have you? We talked about your school. Everybody in here goes to school. Even if you're homeschooled, you're in a co-op, or you're with other homeschool kids. That's a place that God has you. Every day you go to lunch, who do you sit next to? A lot of you guys have lockers. Who's the kid next to you, below you? Maybe you don't even know their name. Start there. Who in here plays sports? Lots of hands. Raise your hand if you play multiple sports. Good, God's going to use you more. You got more teams to go be on mission for. Some of you guys just go, oh, no, I got to go get that out of the way, and then maybe I'll have some extra time. No, be faithful wherever God has you. And just love. You don't have to make them Christians. You don't have to tell them everything in the Bible that you ever heard of. You just got to be faithful and be ready. Oh, well, Harrison, I was playing preseason football and I tore my ACL. And so now I can't even play. I was excited to be on mission. It happened this last week. We're getting ready for the first game. And now I'm just mad at God. You know what? You're on mission on the bench. You laugh, but I'm serious. You got kids that ride the bench all year long, and maybe you're a starter. Love them. Lead them. Cheer them on. Encourage them. Get to know the coaches. Get to know your teachers. There are so many places that God has you. The kid next to you or behind you on the bus. The lonely kid that no one ever talks to. That's your mission. Friends in your small group, you think maybe that's not your mission, but they're just as much in need of encouragement as anybody else that you meet. Your family, people that don't believe in Jesus, where does God have you? And maybe this week, you just write a list of things and go, all right, Lord, what's my schedule? And then pray over that and go, Lord, how will you use me in second period this morning? Lord, how will you use me at dance class on Thursday night? And if you pray that boldly, you will be amazed at what God does if you are faithful. And then the next one is be available. We got to be faithful to where God has us and be available to jump in where we see the need. Sometimes it's going to be where we are. And we're just looking. We're just living life and we're loving Jesus because we're already abiding with him and loving God and allowing his spirit to transform us. God will work. But then there are going to be times where you go, oh, that's brokenness in my city. And I'm going to step up. Because again, later in the text, we see all over this place, if you go through and read chapter 3, and you will this week, you will in your small groups, you're going to see that there are priests, there are brothers, there are sisters, there are sons, there are fathers, there are merchants, there are these skilled laborers and workers, and then there's a random verse in there that says, it's verse 8, next to them, Uzziel, the son of Hariah, the goldsmith, and then Hananiah, one of the perfumers. You're like, what? What are they doing building something? The guy that puts gold to make it look pretty, and then a guy that makes ladies smell pretty. They're building the wall. Why? Because they just said, all right, Lord, I'm in. If that's where the need is, I may not know what I'm doing. I may not know how to do it, but put me next to some guys because there are people next to them and after them and then down the street. There are people building everywhere. And so it may not be your area of expertise, but maybe that's where the need is. Jump in. Be available. Be faithful. And be on mission. Because Jesus says in Matthew 9 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. They're sheep without a shepherd. And guys, Jesus is our good shepherd, but he also sends us out to love the sheep. Will you be the church? Will you be faithful and will you be available? I want to show you something real quick. I'm going to ask a couple people to dive in with me. I'm going to come around. If I come to you, I want you to answer these questions. I want you to say your grade, your school, and then an activity you're involved in. Just one. All right? We're going to go random. We're going to get a couple people. Here we go. Right here.
Sam Starnes, Trinity Christian Academy, and soccer.
Nice. Right here.
Michaela Swank, Lake Islands Junior High, volleyball.
Nice. Here we go. Let's get a dude.
Oh, okay. Jacob Shedrick, North Junior High, and orchestra.
Sweet. Here we go.
Samantha Shaw, I do gymnastics in White Rock Elementary.
Awesome. Perfect. Here we go. Right here. Right here. Coming over the ladies. Nice.
Andrew Spence. I go to Covenant and football.
Football. All right. Here we go. Some sixth graders. Where you at? Where you at? Right here.
James Willingham, Prairie Creek, and band.
Nice. All right. Hey, stay with me. Stay with me. All right. I want you to focus on what people are saying. Focus on what they're saying. Here we go. Eighth graders.
Clara Woodward, Trinity Christian Academy, and competitive cheer.
All right. Competitive cheer. There we go. Here we go. What do you got?
Ben Murphy, TCA baseball.
All right. We're going in the back. We're going in the back right here.
Shiloh Breedlove, Lake Highlands Junior High. Basketball.
All right. There we go. Right here. Come on, Under Armour.
Charlie Grieg, Fusion Academy football.
Nice. There we go. Let's go one more right here. I know you don't want it, but you're doing it.
Molly Berryman, TCA and volleyball.
Nice. All right. We could go around this entire room and somebody would have something to share. We've all got a place that God's got us. So we heard all kinds of different grades, 6th through 8th. I counted out of 10 or 11 people, 8 different schools. I heard volleyball. I heard football. I heard orchestra. I heard baseball. You guys may have heard some others. You know what that means? Out of 11 people, we have 7 different missionaries all over the city. Out of 250 people in this room, there is no telling where God is going to send us. But you have to be willing. You've got to be available. You've got to be faithful. Will you jump on mission? Watch this.
"28 years, and not one single stranger that I ever talked to in any conversation ever shared the gospel with me. Not one. So I grew up in a Christian household, heard about Jesus, heard what Jesus did, but it never quite registered with me what that meant. When I got to college, I met someone, and a rap artist, and he said, hey, I want you to manage me, and I began managing him. When I graduated, one of his songs took off on the radio, and it became a platinum record, a big-time hit on Billboard charts. We got to fly everywhere. We got to tour. We got to have the most lavish rap lifestyle that pretty much everyone wants to live. That's what all of my friends wanted. That's what I wanted. Once you get those things, you realize that it means absolutely nothing. And that left me at a point where I was empty. I heard about all these things about Jesus Christ, but no one ever actually told me what the gospel meant, what that meant for myself, what it meant for the world, and what it meant to God. No one ever shared with me how the gospel would impact my life. That motivates me to this day to engage with people, to talk with people. And even when they say, yeah, I'm a Christian, ask them what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Who is Jesus to you? God is just calling you to be faithful. You don't have to worry about converting people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God just wants you to be faithful and share the good word. Preach.
So that's Philip Ward. Philip Ward is a 7th grade leader with us. And yeah, and a powerful, powerful testimony. But here's what I want you to hear him say.
Nobody told me. I grew up all around it, but nobody told me. And I probably got friends who that's true, that they knew me and I never told them. But guys, we get to be a part of the mission. And you need to know this, because not all of us know Jesus and follow him. And if that's you or anybody in here, you need to know that Jesus Christ came on a mission himself. He's not just sending you on something that he wasn't willing to do. He came with one mission, and it was to die. He came here. God, fully God, came and walked as a man so that he could then be nailed to a cross and pay the penalty for your sin so that you could have life. So that you could have relationship with God the Father. That's an impossible mission that he undertook because he loved you. We can't save people, but he can. And we get to be a part of it. We can't just say that we follow Jesus. We got to go. We got to be on mission. I love what Ellie said in Up. She said, "Do you have what it takes? Do you?" Because Jesus thinks that you do. And that's why he left it to you. Not so that you could save the world, but that you could love him and then go love people. Jump on board and be on mission. If you choose to accept it, love God, love people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you choose to use us. Thank you that in your goodness and your grace, you allow us to have relationship with you and then to go out and to love others. Will you give us strength? Will you give us boldness? Will you give us confidence? Will you help these students and these leaders to get over our fears, over our failures, over our need for perfection? And Lord, will we be the church? Will you allow us to be faithful wherever you already have us and then to be available where we see there is need? Thanks for Philip's story. Thanks for the challenge that we have to go out now, not to save people, but just to share of the great things that our God has already done. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love